News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, have you heard the ads on the show? I'm sure you have, for Otter Creek Farm. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I go out there all the time. Charlene and I love going out there for like a dinner. They have an amazing culinary staff out there. The facilities are beautiful. And then also, it's a place where we've been to for wedding events. It's a wedding venue. But it's a wing shooting destination. I mean, this place has got it all. Hundreds of manicured acres. They got the guides, the guns, the dogs. You want to shoot pheasant or quail? I mean, this is one of the best places in the Southeast for wing shooting. And it's why it's been featured in Garden and Gun magazine. That's why Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed there not long ago for an overnight and a hunt the next day. It is that good. An oasis, I like to say, in the middle of North Alabama. Check them out. Their website is OtterCreekFarmstead.com. That's OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Hey, Copper, I got some clips up there on the board for you. You see that? Clip three. I'm going to do that one next. So you let me know when clip three is good to go. But folks, we were talking about polling, right? So polling is an amazing, and it's, you know, I'm a numbers guy, but I'm not a numbers guy, if you know what I mean. I appreciate numbers, but don't ask me to do your taxes, if you know what I'm saying. But that being said, polling can be extremely frustrating. Now, I will tell you, I used to joke that if polling were always to be believed, I would not have been reelected. So, because, I mean, the teachers union was throwing a whole lot of money against me in the last go-round, and I knew what my internal polling was saying, but the external polling had me losing the race the day before, and then I won by 4 points. So, you know, just go figure. But all that to say, polling is pretty amazing. And when you get down into these polls and get in the weeds on them, it's pretty cool. They got the top line, which basically just tells you, hey, it's like it's 52-48. But then they've got what they call the crosstabs, and that's where you really get to dissect it. And there's people that, I mean, it's like a thing with them, right? They want to dissect those crosstabs and to see what the details. I mean, what are the demographics and what age group did you resonate with best and how did that compare to last year this same time and yada, yada. It's amazing what they can do with these polls. But the polls that we've got right now, though, the top line polls that we're seeing on the Biden administration are at epic levels. They are at epic levels right now. And we are seeing right now polling that would indicate that if the election were tomorrow, that the Biden administration would be absolutely to blame for a complete shift in the polls as to Democrat versus Republican. That's where we sit today. Now, a lot can happen in a year. I mean, you could watch something happen that you know, cascades a major player like Trump or somebody into a super bad light, you know, that some kind of scandal breaks or some kind of international incident that Biden does right, which is hard to imagine right now, but there it is. And all I'm saying is if something can change the political winds, but right now the polling clearly indicates this is the strongest Republican-based poll that has been out there in like since 81, I think it was. That's a major factor. Well, I got this clip right here. Mark Thiessen was on Fox News I think it was yesterday, Sunday, talking with Dana Perino, I believe. And he says basically part of this is because Biden is pushing for mandates that the vast majority of Americans are not asking for. Just like blindly moving forward on social policies that no one's asking for, except for his extremely liberal base. Go ahead and play clip three, Copper.
Americans said they know just some or little about what is in both bills. So then you see the White House and Democrats saying, our policies are very popular. We're just not very good at selling them to the American people because they don't know what's in the bills.
Yeah.
So is it a communications problem or a policy problem?
No, because 6 in 10 Americans also say that they're worried that Biden is doing too much to increase the size and scope of government in our lives. I mean, look, if you were a normal Democrat, you would look at this poll and say, oh, my God, we have to change course or we're going to lose power. Instead, what the Democrats are saying is, oh, my God, we're going to lose power. We better ram through as much of our radical agenda that the American people don't support as possible before we do. That's literally their response. They do not have a mandate for socialism. 60% of the country thinks that that they don't want to have more government, that Biden is increasing the size of government. So why are they pushing why is their response to push a $4 trillion socialist monstrosity that is going to increase, that is going to insert the hand of government into our lives from cradle to grave? That doesn't make sense. It's not responding to the American people.
Right,
and the reason is very simple, Dana, is because the progressives...
I just want to jump in and ask you about Kamala Harris, because her number...
All right, go ahead and drop it there. So you heard him. He said what's happening is that the vast... And I agree with this. Jeff Poor brought it up, and I agree with his point, too, that even when the Biden administration does something that the Democrats would think is right, they're not doing a great job of packaging it. But then on top of that, a lot of what is being pushed for by the Biden administration right now is not resonating at all with a majority of Americans. Now, there's going to be some who love it. There's going to be there are the progressive left who absolutely want this stuff. There's going to be even some moderates that want this stuff. There's a little bit of bipartisanship to a degree with this infrastructure spending bill that the president's signing right now as we speak. But all that to say, the vast majority of this ridiculous, like, green energy and massive trillion-dollar spending on social welfare projects does not resonate with the average American, especially when they see that happening at a time when they can't go to the store and buy the usual goods that they're accustomed to being able to buy, when they can't go get gas to get to grandma's house for Thanksgiving at a rate that they paid just 1 year ago today. And when they can't go see their paycheck cover as much as it normally would, when stores don't have the ability to get goods in for Christmas, when all these things are happening, when people are still looking for jobs, and then they find out that other people are still laying out looking for another government dole, I'm just telling you, folks, that stuff's not resonating well. And we're seeing it right now in these polls. And it's been a massive day. And I believe it's a repudiation of policy. I mean, there's some personality in there. It's hard to like Kamala Harris right now. We're even hearing infighting saying that she's not popular among her own people. It's hard to like Biden's style when he's at the microphone. And he turns around and walks away without taking questions. He's gotten better at that lately. But all that to say, personality aside, the policies, the things that last, the things that allegedly politics are there for, are not resonating well with the average person. Well, listen, we're going to move on to a different topic here, but I do believe that that's something that I wanted to bring that today, because for whom the politics polls? Well, in our own statewide race for U.S. Senate, we're seeing the polls shifting, and Katie Britt has definitely, her team has done what it's been, I mean, her team is executing the plan. And they're executing it well right now. And their numbers are tightening up a lot in that race with Mo Brooks and now Mike Durant. And, of course, Jessica Taylor and Linda Blanchard are still way back there, but they're in the race. And then on the national level, it's not working for Democrats in general. Hey, I got one caller online, too. Let me go ahead and grab that while I got a minute. Dan from Madison. Hey, Dan. Phil Williams from Right Side. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, Phil. I just got back from Long Island, New York. And
bless you.
There's people out there not crazy about Joe, and you would think they all love the guy, but no.
Wow.
Not the case at all, my friend. You know,
wow. They
got a year left, Phil. They're going to go all out. It's just, they're going to cram it down our throat and do whatever they can to make this stick. It's awful. It's terrible. We all hate it. And those 13 Republicans that voted for this, I don't know how you can do this, but you know what? Guess what? See your pension, pal. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so sick of it, okay? Hey, you know what it is? They got a handout from somebody. You know what I'm talking about. There's people out there, lobbyists, that they got a handout and say, listen, I know you're leaving everything, man, but before you go, will you go ahead and do this? And I got a little something for you. You know that goes on.
Well, let's hope that's not the case. But, yeah, I mean, 13 Republicans sure defected and gave Biden a win that he didn't have otherwise, and that's absolutely true. Some would call that bipartisanship. I call that defection. Hey, Dan, let me ask you this, man. You were up in Long Island. The folks that are tired of it, were you talking to, like, business community folks, man-on-the-street stuff? What was it? Where were you seeing the most discontent with the Biden administration in Long Island?
The most Biden what you said?
Most discontent. Where was it? Was it, like, business interests, or was it, like, man-on-the-street kind of stuff?
Well, you know, I mean, you're not doing too good on the bathroom wall. You know, it says, you know what F by, you know, Biden, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I know I talk to people, but you see it on the bathroom wall and you go, oh, yeah, you know, that's an average guy who goes to a bar like that, mom and pop. And you know the nice thing about that place? First off, it's very, very nice. A lot of people in a small place. That's the way I see it. It's really small. But I noticed there, Phil, the chains of restaurants, they're not there. It's all mom-and-pop place.
Yeah.
And I love that because I love to go to mom-and-pop because these guys are trying to make a living. And, you know, and if they don't put out a good product, which, trust me, I've went to a couple really good Italian restaurants, and it feels warm in my heart to see somebody out there still trying to make it. And they cut their hours back, you know, they don't start serving till 5 o'clock all day long. They wait, do the dinner thing. But listen, there's people out there in every state, sees what's going on, they're happy, and it's not America, and you know it ain't.
I agree with you, Dan. Hey, man, thanks for the phone call. Glad you're back in Alabama, but we appreciate you being in this audience. So, yep, Dan from Madison, thank you very much. Well, listen, Copper, go ahead and take us to that break. We're going to come back. I'm going to change the topic and start getting into some education stuff. And top of the hour, we got a friend, State Senator Arthur Orr, calling in to discuss education in Alabama. I call this segment of the Triple Dipper, Hey Parents, Let's Talk About Education in Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, National Christian Foundation, one of our partners. I got to tell you about them. This is what Charlene and I use. It's a means by which you can streamline your charitable giving. So a bunch of y'all out there like us, you know, give to your church every month. You have charities you support. You occasionally have a one-off where you want to give money to a charity that's doing a special thing or an event or whatever. All I'm saying is, you know, you write all those checks individually, right? And then at the end of the year, you've got to compile all of those tax documents and make sure that you've got everything together for whoever does your taxes, whether you or somebody else. And so you may have multiple, like one from your church, one from this charity, one from that charity. Well, National Christian Foundation streamlines that process, and I'm loving this. So every month now, we give our money direct to National Christian Foundation. And National Christian Foundation here in Alabama, I know the folks personally. What they do is they manage it like a portfolio. They can grow it with interest. They can put it in the market. They can arrange to have it all available to you whenever you need it. And then all you do is when you're ready, you say, hey, National Christian Foundation, give the money here, here, and here. And they send the checks out for you. But because National Christian Foundation itself is also a 501c3, the moment you give it to them, it is a tax deduction. Bam. At the end of the year, you get one piece of paper to give for your taxes. One piece of paper says National Christian Foundation, X amount of dollars. You directed it where you wanted it to go, but you streamlined your processes, and they might even grow it for you to be able to give more. They've actually got attorneys on staff who can assist you with your charitable giving to maximize your capability for tax write-offs. I'm just telling you, it's a very cool thing, and you can tell by the name, they run it with godly principles, and we love that. So National Christian Foundation, check them out. In Alabama, it's ncfgiving.com/Alabama. ncfgiving.com/Alabama. All right, we're going to switch gears here. And I'm going to do this in the last few minutes of this particular hour to lead into a conversation with State Senator Arthur Orr coming up in the top of the next hour. So I wrote a piece for the Alabama Policy Institute. This was in the fall, right at 2 years ago in 2019, I wrote a piece and I called it Last in Education, Off with Their Heads. I mean, it was a no holds barred. It was one of my stiffer op-eds, but I wasn't playing, because what happened was that particular week when I wrote this was when we finally dropped behind Mississippi. We're number 50th in the nation in education rankings. That's awful, y'all. There's 50 states and we're number 50. And it's even worse when you break it down into categories. In math, we were number 52. How are you 52 out of 50 states? Well, you're 52 when they also factor in like the Department of Defense schools for dependents overseas and Puerto Rico and they ranked higher than us with, you know, with hardly a budget. I'm just saying it's awful. Well, in that I started doing what I called naming names, talking about the AEA, the teachers union, constantly being in the way of creative resourcing, talking about the current state school board, which is often dysfunctional, talking about the fact that even those in higher education who train teachers need to examine what are we doing if we're the ones who are producing the teachers and we're number 50 in the nation. Does that say anything about us? And I wonder, does it? Are they educating our future teachers in such a way to equip them fully for what needs to be done in Alabama? Well, here's the other thing, too. You're going to hear this mantra a lot. We don't fund, from liberals, we don't fund education enough. Well, we have had the highest education budgets for the last 10 years that this state has ever had, ever. And Governing Magazine, in 2019, Governing Magazine reported that there are 22% of the states that spend less than Alabama per student but rank higher than us. What that means is putting money on it ain't always the answer. So if all of these other states are spending less per student but yet ranking higher than us in results, you have to look at that and go, well, that would indicate to me that it's what we're doing, not what we're spending, that's making a difference. And folks, we've got to start making some changes. I mean, stop with the status quo, because the status quo is not working. It is not. If we're going to be last in the nation, then there's nowhere to go but up. And if we're last in the nation, why will we keep doing it the same old way every single time? Well, coming back at the top of the next hour, State Senator Arthur Orr, he's the chairman of the Education Trust Fund, which is the education budget for the state of Alabama. He's also got a proposal that sort of hopes to close the gap on math. But at the same time, we just had something unusual happen regarding reading. So we have a bill that was passed by the legislature just a couple of years ago, last year, 2020, I believe. And it's called the Alabama Literacy Act, that requires that a student must meet third grade level when they're in third grade or they can't go on to fourth grade. And that's hard. I mean, it's hard. But folks, we've got to have a place in time where we begin to mark the ground and say, little girl, little boy, you have to get to this point. We have to get you to this point. We'll do all we can, but we got to get you to this point. And if they're not at that point, they can't go to the next point. Like, you can't go to second base if you haven't touched first. And so what we're seeing right now, though, is the immediate calls by Democrats were to lighten up on that. We just passed it, but let's lighten up on that. Let's give it a 2-year break, because we've had COVID. COVID, you understand, COVID changes everything. Well, the legislature passed the extension, and Governor Ivey vetoed it. And then last week, she changed her mind, and now she wants to weaken it again. Unbelievable. What are we doing? We'll be right back to talk to State Senator Orr, get his perspective on some of that, and what he thinks we can do with math. Because we got to do something, because we're 52 in the nation. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.